Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about the superhuman classifications of both DC and Marvel. Chris, my co-host, J.D. from Saskatoon.
Hello.
Also with this is Red Ink.
Yo.
Now this is born through a conversation we had at the end of, after the recording last week's episode, because through the infinite wisdom of Dan Slott and Hickman, Franklin Richards is no longer a mutant, and he never was a mutant. So we came into this offshoot discussion of what is a mutant, what is an empowered being, what is a aberration, what is blah, 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 blah. And because the conversation was so interesting, I thought, hey, you know what, let's try to do this as a topic. So I think that things are a lot simpler if you go by the really, really, the three part classification that was in Days of Future Past, where you have mutants, humans, and aberrations. And aberrations are basically people who can give birth to mutants. So let's start from there.
Where does Thor count in that?
Thor is not a human. We're talking about specifically humans. Thor is an Asgardian. It's like when you talk about alien beings, you know, then everything's off the table.
Well, he's not wrong. I mean, just Thor and the Asgardian race basically are like that living example of the Arthur C. Clarke line, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And I mean, they wrote that for the longest time until, you know, Jack Kirby started really layering, like, you know, his Kirbiness all over Thor. And they went from being literal gods to being godlike. And there was a certain disconnect there, but then you also have Hercules, who is the actual Hercules of legend. You know, father is Zeus, had the 12 labors, went mad, killed his wife and kids. So he would be...
But the Olympians in Marvel are interdimensional beings.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. But yeah, I mean, with the mutants thing, like, and I had the most confusion, shall we say, folks, about this, because I always took it like you have humans and you have mutants, and they are humans who had this extra X gene that gave you powers, like how Cyclops' eyes are actually mini portals to this infinite dimension with the kinetic energy beams. Or some such like that. And that was it. But it's just in the last few years, like especially with how Hickman has crafted, you know, the House of X era with the X-Men comics, that all of a sudden they're a completely separate species. And I question, well, are they so fundamentally different from the past classification of having an X gene that now they're a completely separate race? And what separates them from what mutants were before? Like, do they have like three gallbladders and an extra heart or something? And that's kind of what we're going to discuss tonight.
Well, I mean, really, when we look at things like that, we have to really take into account the fact that mutants used to mean in Marvel, anyone born with powers that are human. Now it means specifically having a specific gene. And the way the classification goes from there is just really freaking wacky and too minute, because now you have mutants and mutant subspecies like Sheriffim and Externals and Neophim and the Neo and Lupine, and it's like... Yeah,
when
like,
everyone's special, no one's special.
See, I kind of liked it when being a mutant meant you're rolling the dice of what you get. It might be awesome. You might just be the guy that's really furry.
Yeah, I mean, there's never any rhyme or reason. I mean, over the years, mainly Hank McCoy, you know, the huge bundle of fur that everyone loves, the Beast, has opined several times in comics saying, you know, it could be a matter of environment. It could be a matter of nature versus nurture, radiation, the air, pollution. Who knows? Like, even the smartest mutant on the block has no idea. And I remember, like, a pretty good example of this is in the JLA Avengers crossover where Wally West crosses into Earth 616, you know, the Marvel Universe, and he's confronted with this guy who the night before was like a normal, you know, kid down the block, Archie Andrews type, and now he wakes up, he's a fish man. And he, all of a sudden, his neighbors, and I'm assuming his parents, are chasing him through the streets with the requisite no more mutants and the torches and pitchforks. But I don't think it's never really established, like, it's like Ben said, it's just a roll of the dice. Like, there's never any hard reasoning as to how a mutant develops like a certain set of powers. Now, within certain families with very dominant mutant genes, like say the Summers line or, you know, the Howlett clan, like Wolverine and his kin, a lot of them, they get variants on a theme. Well, but sorry, you go right.
Every mutant is supposed to, well, first thing, let's bring up that one theory of evolution that I brought up last time, where sometimes in nature you spontaneously just develop things, especially from stagnation. The guy used the example of white rabbits as an example. How rabbits, one rabbit suddenly just turned white during the winter, and it survived, and it got to breed. And it turned, and it passed on its genes. And sooner or later, eventually every other rabbit was able to turn white during the winter. It's a weird mixture of Darwinism and the spontaneous mutation.
Yeah, that's saltation is the term.
But that's what the mixture of Darwinism and spontaneous mutation are what mutants are. They're not an actual fucking theory from real life. And they can, it's been shown many times that sometimes it's the environment. Sometimes it has to do with, like, your genetics, where you come from. Sometimes it's just fucking random.
Yeah. I think one of the best examples I can think of the random mutation is, do you guys remember the character Maggot from the mid to late 90s in X-Men?
Unfortunately.
South African mutant who's literal stomach and intestines turn into Eeny and Miney, these weird, vaguely robotic-looking larva, like, you know, Mecha Mothra babies who, like, can eat anything, and then they literally have to chew through his stomach to get back into his body. It's not like they just phase through his skin or something like that. And I was like, in what universe is that even remotely a beneficial mutation? I mean, we had Matter Eater Lad in Legion of Superheroes, and he could eat whatever the hell he wanted. End of story. This guy, his entire guts turned into mutant caterpillars.
I gotta be honest with you. That sounds like something more from JoJo than Marvel.
That's straight up Marvel.
I know, but it sounds like something from like JoJo Part 5.
Yeah, well, I just remember what I was trying to say originally. Every mutant is a species unto themselves. They're supposed to... Well, that's how it was. Now they're all, oh, we're all one species. Mutant power kind of thing. That's what the current storyline is. But, like, an example is Wolverine. When they cloned him and they made a female version, she became... Instead of being exactly like Logan with the three claws, she became... Like a lioness, where the females are made to hunt while the males are made to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something that the creator of Laura Kinney, aka X-23, intended from the beginning when she first appeared in the very heavily underrated animated series X-Men Evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they had they had that whole storyline in... one of the Wolverine titles, like where they introduce Dokken, like his son, who's got, you know, he's got tri-claws, but he gets that one that comes from under, like, his wrist area, like where Spider-Man's stingers came from when he had the, you know, the mutate Spider-Man powers for a while there. But yeah, like Ben said, there's the whole, the dominant species is what Marvel classified, you know, like Wild Child, Sabretooth, Wolverine, Feral, I think it was the one from X-Force, like anything that was like a cat and or dog, wolf, you know, Lupo-based mutants like that. And they have, there's one on one of the wikis you gave here, Ben, they have the Homo Insectus, which I thought would include Grant Morrison's Angel, but apparently it just pretty much involves the Spider Queen who gave Peter his super spider powers there before
Spider Island.
That was way after. This was just before Civil War, and then, you know, the deal with Mephisto.
Well, you know, to rewind a little bit back, great points about Draken and Laura, but we're forgetting another child of Wolverine, aren't we?
Honey Badger?
Maybe more of a grandchild. No, you're forgetting another one. Jimmy Hudson.
Oh, dear God. I forgot about Jimmy.
And he's actually in 616 now.
What?
Yeah.
He crossed over with that whole Secret Wars business 5 years ago.
Yeah, he's one of the dimensional hermit crabs.
I haven't seen him show up in any X-Men comic in years.
He's there.
He was part of X-Men Blue for a while, which was basically the title dealing with it's the last few adventures of the young original X-Men before they got sent back in time to keep the time stream from collapsing. And
but that was like almost 10 years ago.
No, he's still here.
He's still here. He got caught, like X-Men Blue was part of the, was it Venomized, the Venom crossover from a few years ago where you have the Poisons, which are like this super extra dimensional species that can kill symbiotes. And
they eat symbiotes. So they basically
eat symbiotes. Yeah.
It's sort of like how in the second Blade movie you have Reavers that eat vampires.
Yeah. So he's still out running around somewhere in the world. He might be on Krakoa for all we know. Just no one's made use of him.
He's running with the new Marauders right now.
Is he? Because I thought that was Wild Child.
No, he's running with the new Marauders right now. So the one thing I want to bring up is technically he is a mutant, but this is another hand wave thing. We're talking about mutant classification. Wait, go ahead, Red.
One of the things that bugged me about him was that, like, when he first popped his claws, all of a sudden they covered in fucking adamantine, and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
they explained
adamantium
that
isn't part of fucking Wolverine's genetics.
Yeah, but the bullshit explanation that they gave for that is his dad is James Howlett, or Hudson, I think they called. Well,
his dad is James Howlett, but he is James Hudson because his mom is a Hudson.
Yeah, because he got adopted by the Ultimate versions of Guardian and Vindicator, but his mom in the Ultimate Comics Red is Mystique, and that somehow that bullshit genetic excuse allows Jimmy to cover his claws, if not his whole skeleton, in adamantium, because that's how genetics work.
If it was me, I'd be like, well, if genetics want to simulate Wolverine's fucking skeleton, why don't you just make it carbon?
Like a really hard natural carbon. But the reason why I bring up Jimmy Hudson and the Ultimate Marvel mutants is because, and this is something that was hand-waved by Bendis himself when he did a crossover between the original five X-Men and the Ultimate X-Men, where the two Jean Greys mentioned mutants are similar between the universes but not the same, and Jimmy said you know, mutants are made, and Laura said no, mutants just are, and for people who know the Ultimate Marvel Universe, mutants are made. I think Wolverine is technically Patient Zero, and because he got around a lot, like
they're trying to create a fucking another Captain America, and then Wolverine,
like, fucked a lot.
No, Wolverine carried an STD that was basically the fucking X gene.
Yeah.
And he didn't fuck a lot. It just STD spread. That's the way they work.
I think they applied both.
I also remember them mentioning something about it being airborne, but I might be misremembering that. And, you know, as we're getting through, like, the mutant subspecies here, I do want to mention my favorite member of the Neafim family, which is the demonic-looking mutants, and that's Kurt Wagner. But in the Munich Circus, he was known as the Incredible Nightcrawler. And I always...
In the Munich Circus!
Yes. But I always loved how he looked like, you know, Fuzzy Elf, as Wolverine called him back in the day, and he looked like a demon, and they just left it that. And that's, like, an example of having the question and never getting an answer is better sometimes. Like, how they assumed that, you know, blue skin and whatever reason, like, Mystique's probably your mom, and they never said yes or no for years. And then they said, yeah, Mystique's your mom, and she boned a devil. Was it Belasco from...
Well, there are three versions of this.
They've actually...
Really?
He's actually the son of Azazel, who, like him, looks like a demon, but he's not.
He's just the king of a hell-like dimension that's not actually hell.
Yeah, okay.
And before then... It was the origin we all know where Mystique slept with a guy who's like a baron or a prince, gave birth to a furry blue baby and was outed as a mutant, and she threw him into the river because she's like, fuck this. Which would really cement the fact that that Mystique is almost irredeemable. People still try, though. But before then, she was the child of Mystique and Destiny. Lightcrawler was the child between Mystique and Destiny, when Mystique grew an extra part. That's what Claremont intended. And then the editors were like, we can't put that in a book.
What do you mean she's in a relationship with another woman? That's wrong!
No. They were fine with that.
They weren't fine with Mystique turning into a guy and fucking...
Yes. Yes. They were fine with him being in a relationship because, my God, Claremont was a kinky fellow and he got a lot through that book.
But you let me put my mistress in the book.
Yeah.
No, I mean, mutants, you get... honestly, and it's just because I'm not... I love the Great Lakes Avengers as a concept, but I've never liked, Mr. Immortal, whose superpower is he can't die. And one of the miniseries that came out, I think it's somewhere in the early aughts, like 2004, 2005, they established that he is the first part of a subspecies of mutant called Homo Supreme, which is, according to the wiki, the final step of evolution apart from both humans and mutants. Apparently the ultimate mutant power is to die or to never die and live till the end of time. That just makes it seem like incredibly sad. He also has the worst costume on the team.
But back to the classification, we talked about how there's all these different subsets of mutants, and again, I feel like the three-tier classification is the simplest and the best, but now we have it to where we have humans, we have empowered humans, we have, in some sense of that, empowered by science, empowered by mysticism, then we have mutants, we have inhumans, we have eternals, we have... Help me out here.
Humans, mutants, eternals, Kree hybrids.
Altered humans.
Altered humans.
You have Genosian mutates, and I believe there's also Savage Land mutates, which is what they refer to some Sauron? Of the experiments. Well, sorry?
Sauron?
Sauron's a straight-up mutant. I was referring more to like when Magneto was based out of the Savage Land, and him and the one mental midget mutant he had in his retinue down there experimented on the Savage Land people and created like this subset of mutates.
Well, what a mutate is somebody with an X gene but never developed mutant powers. And they're artificially... Induced? Their X gene is artificially induced. Yes, that's a mutate.
So,
okay.
Did they ever touch on this new word, House of X bullshit, if mutates are allowed to the promised land?
Probably not, because they're fucking racist as hell. I mean, you brought it up at the beginning there, Ben, in Fantastic Four 26, which came out last week. Franklin was trying to get a hold of his friends, his new family on Krakoa, and Chuck Xavier, proving himself to be the most colossal of dicks, says, no, it's all your fault. See, you wanted to be special so badly. You made it look like your DNA was, you were X gene positive, and, I couldn't tell, but I'm not going to mention that because I'm supposed to be the smartest asshole in the world. And then he basically tells Franklin to kick rocks because you were never a mutant and you'll never be welcome here. I was like, wasn't this the guy a few months ago that, busted into Reed's lab alongside Magneto and, like, forcibly wiped the information of the mutant masker device from Reed's mind?
Which, by the way, is not gonna help them in the future, because even if Reed can't, quote, remember how to make one, he will make a different one using a completely different process, because it's Reed fucking Richards.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you got stuff like that. I don't think mutates would be welcome, because they tried, like, Hickman's trying to write the X-Men as if they are so much better than now than they were living in the human world, but they're carrying over the same old prejudices. You know, you're a mutant. Like, is Mr. Sinister a mutant? Because I know he's a super smart geneticist from, like, the 1800s, but he's allowed on Krakoa.
Well, he's a mutate.
He made a mutant body for himself and transferred himself over to it. And because the mutant body is, quote, born with the X gene activated, he is considered a mutant, because they wanted to have a scene with all of the X-Men villains sitting around a meeting table with the X-Men to symbolize the fact that just because we can all agree on one thing, we can all get along.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about mutation and mutates, do you think that the whole idea of secondary mutation makes them, like, mutant plus, or is this just their powers develop a different outlet within their mutant physiology?
Secondary mutation always bugged the fuck out of me. It was all, like, when Grant Morrison introduced it, it was like, you just want a fucking retcon shit. That's the only reason why it exists. You want to make the Beast look like a beast. You want to make him look like a fucking cat.
Yeah, and go ahead, Brett.
And then fucking Bendis is going to come back in 10 years and make him look like a dumb fucking ape.
Yeah, but to touch that point, what people fail to remember most of the time is Beast, quote, secondary mutation he did to himself.
So this would be a, like, tertiary mutation?
Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah.
Morrison corrected that. He said it was natural. It was going to happen anyways.
Which may or may not have happened down the line. I mean, I always kind of like the leonine? Is that the right word? Or something like that. The Catman version of Beast, like, specifically... the version put in the chat here. That's not going to work. The version they drew him as in the new Avengers run, where he's a cat man. He's kind of reminiscent of... He looked like Ron Perlman in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, like, that's exactly the way.
Yeah, I love that look. I thought that was great. And then, yeah, Bendis came and, sent him back in time to bring the X-Men forward because Cyclops has lost his way, and then he got sick, and this is his true mutant form, where, yeah, he looks like a dumb ape, blue furry ape man. I mean, at the very least, you couldn't make him look like Kelsey Grammer. Come on.
Bendis originally wanted him to bring him back to his original blue form, but Marvel's like, no, fuck that. No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. And that horrible blue fuzzy kitty cat version we got of Hank in First Class. I think he looked better in the second one. But yeah, secondary mutations kind of bugged me too. Is like, what, they didn't have enough powers already? You had to give them more to handle? It's
like, there were some great ideas that Morrison came up with. Like, the classification of Omega Mutant, like, it's been spread thin lately with the idea that as long as your powers don't fucking tire you out, you're an Omega level mutant. Or if your powers exceed like godlike fucking status, you're an Omega level mutant.
So Jean Grey.
Yeah, an example would be Bobby Drake. He can fucking freeze the fucking whole world and he'll never tire up.
He technically can reform his own body out of any water if he wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it also speaks to mental blocks in terms of how much power they show or project, because, I mean, for years it's just him sliding on the ice ramps, throwing snowballs, the occasional ice spike, and then he got, he was in a coma, and this Emma Frost, I can never remember what her supervillain name is anymore, Emma Frost possesses his body and proves that, you know, he's more powerful than you ever suspected, because he's never been aggressively creative with his powers. You know, and when it comes to specific genetic subset, I mean, like, the, if you're going to make somebody an insect-based mutant like Angel in the Grant Morrison's run, I don't know, do you think they didn't go far? I feel like they didn't go far enough with that. Oh, sure, she's got the butterfly wings, and then she can, like, you know, undetach her jaw to do the acid vomit thing, but then she goes back to looking like a normal person with butterfly wings. Like, you know, what's her boyfriend, Beak, got the short end of the genetic stick. He looks like a bird that lost most of its feathers.
And there's also the fish boy who couldn't breathe air.
Yeah. Doesn't exactly seem like you'll be able to survive with that. It's, like I said, it's not what will make you survive this moment the best. It's basically a crapshoot. If you're counting on, like, if you're locked in a room and you gain the power to instantly pick locks, that's not how it works. It's, if you're locked in a room, you might get the power to only breathe carbon dioxide or some shit like that. It's not ever gonna. It's completely random.
Okay, so here's the thing, kind of bring in the Inhumans a little bit. Almost forgot their name.
Oh God.
So just go with me here. So we know Inhumans are the result of Kree scientists coming to Earth and futzing with the genetics of early humans after the Celestials had come, you know, millions of years before and done the same. And now we've got this subset of humans who, when they're exposed to the Terrigen Mists, they develop some random wacky superpowers, entirely, like, even more randomly, it would seem, than mutants. And, you know, they go into the cocoons, they come out, and they can, you know, smell sounds or, you know, shatter mountains with a whisper, like one of my favorite Inhumans, Black Bolt. But then you have, in the Infinity crossover, they introduce Thanos' son, Thane. Now, he is an Inhuman. He has this healing power. But then he gets double, or I forget exactly how, but he gets exposed to the Terrigen Cloud. And because he's already has human DNA, but he also has the deviant DNA, which is a subset of mutant DNA that comes from the externals
area. Oh, God, the externals. I forgot about the
DNA externals. Titan DNA.
Well, the Titan DNA, but he has the
deviant. I forgot about the DNA. Titans. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so he's got the Titan deviant DNA, whatever. Does that then make Thane a mutant? Because no. He has these... He was born with all this stuff.
He's born with all this stuff, but they're artificially... They were artificially activated. They would classify him as mutated as best.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like, let's say... what's his name? Isn't Mimic a mutate or an engineered mutant as well?
Mimic is the first mutate. He is the first person with an X gene. Well, this wasn't what it originally was. He's actually an enhanced human when he first started. But eventually it got retconned. He's the first person with an X gene that was artificially activated.
Ah.
Yeah, I thought you said morph there for a second, so took my brain a moment to catch up. No, they said we...
Making cupcakes.
Yes. So, like, we spoke of the Eternals and the Deviants there, and that's where the Inhumans kind of come from that line, because we have, you know, the cosmic Kirby gods that are the Celestials come down, experiment with early man. We get these godlike, Adonis-looking, you know, perfectly beautiful humans. We get the humans, and then we have the Deviants, which their genetics are weak and a non-stable, so they all start looking like demons and monsters and all that, and leans into that whole Marvel universe trope of... Sorry?
Don't forget the Eternals.
Oh my fucking god.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, you have the Eternals, who are the pretty people with all the perfect powers, and they just look like Hollywood royalty, and you have the Deviants, who their DNA, like I said, is unstable, so they just get like cancerous boils on their face.
What classifies an Eternal is they're a mutant, and they're also immortal.
That's Externals. I was talking about Eternals.
Okay.
Yeah, they finally brought the Externals back after never talking about them for 20 years. Like, what's the one?
They suck.
Yeah. Was it Kandra or Cassandra or something? The one that was like the patron of the Thieve and Assassin's Guild in Gambit's storyline. Apocalypse tore her body apart and made the gate that takes them to Arako or whatever the extra-dimensional mutant world that they're fighting in this X of Swords storyline right now. But yeah, they're all like immortal. They can reconstitute themselves. It was for years they said Cannonball from X-Force was supposed to be an external.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
That was a huge plot line in fucking New Mutants.
The 90s.
Yeah.
I think they might have mentioned it. I'm pretty sure there's a mention once or twice when Cannonball was part of the Avengers during the whole ramp up to Secret Wars, where he fell in love with the new Smasher from the Shi'ar Imperial Guard, who was half human because her grandpa was... I guess Smasher wasn't just one individual on the team. It was like a rank of some importance within their military. And she was like, yeah, half Shi'ar and became part of the Imperial Guard and fell in love and had a kid with Cannonball. Oh, God, what are the genetics going to be like with that child?
Oh, my God.
The Titans don't really count because they're not human.
Yeah. That's the thing is, when you talk about alien species, that's a whole other can of worms. It's Marvel forgot this too, but technically, like, aliens have their own empowered ranks as well. Like, the Shi'ar has something very similar to the Marvel ranking, like the mutant rankings as well, because there are mutant Shi'ar as well as regular Shi'ar, and then there's fucking, and then there's the fucking Kree, where you have regular Kree, and you have like Super Soldier Kree, and Blue Kree, and Pink Kree, and it's like all fucked up and weird, and then Marvel forgot that this existed, so they're all super-powered Kree, because they don't want to try to remember shit.
And then we got Hulkling.
Oh my god. And then now we have in the Skrulls, like, Skrulls weren't exactly super strong either. They were just soldiers that could shapeshift, and that's all they got. And
then the Secret Invasion happened. Now every other Skrull has become like a super Skrull, like Klurt. I always thought it was cool that you got the Skrulls who, you know, they develop the ability to shapeshift and take the form of, not the abilities of, another person. And they even had that storyline in X-Men years ago that came back to some effect in the late 90s, like post Operation Zero Tolerance and Bastion, all that, where you met the Skrull mutant team that Xavier was dealing with. Well, there are these Skrulls who could not shapeshift, but they had their own weird Skrull mutant powers. But now every time Skrulls show up, now all of a sudden they can just... It's like they absorb the super Skrull DNA that they create in Secret Invasion. Now they can copy superpowers as well. Like, again, it's like I said before, when everybody is special, no one's special. I mean, at least the Badoon haven't started, like, swiping powers or something, because, dear Lord, where is it going to end?
Yeah, it's, like, I feel like Marvel forgot all the stuff about, like, the alien races, specifically the Kree and the Skrull, and they're like, oh, they're all powered now, and forgot, or don't care. I'm leaning more towards don't care. Then we have the other alien races that like the Eternals and the Infinites? Or am I thinking of something else?
Might be thinking of something else. Like
Cosmic Marvel is not my strongest suit. I think Red is much better at Cosmic Marvel than I am, honestly.
What about, I mean, there's also another subset of mutanity, if you will. There's the Children of the Vault, which is that weird genetic laboratory thing that gave us, Phantom X, and where time is in, I forget how, it's running faster inside the vault than, or the world, as it's called now. Where time moves so much faster and you got all these mutants, which technically they're mutants, but they are so far progressed down the evolutionary trail that they might as well just be considered aliens. You know, because you get weird stuff like, basically you got to read the Grant Morrison X-Men because it dealt with in there a lot.
Like, I don't know what the current explanation for mutants are now, because I know before mutants were really hardlined. The World War II, the atom bombs, sort of gave birth to the modern mutants. There were a couple of mutants in the past, but not that many. Da 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 da. Children of the Atom means literally children of the atom bomb. And now it's like, oh, there are always fucking mutants being born all the fucking time. And it all ties to Apocalypse, or was it En Sabanur. Yeah. And it gets messy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the greater history of the Marvel Universe, Apocalypse, or En Sabanur, was the first mutant in the history of the world. As we understand mutants now, I mean, there might have been other people with like slight genetic advantages, but he's the first full on, X-gene mutant. I mean, they even mentioned that in the first issue of X-Men, is somebody who has this extra power, this X-gene, and they just ran with it for years. And like I said before, it's not that that isn't part of the canon now, it's they brush up so closely against that in the current X-Men comics, but they don't deal with the genetics. They're dealing with the language more than anything. Like, I'm a mutant according to whatever scans Xavier does before he brainwashes somebody to let them on Krakoa. Okay, you're a mutant. I'm the expert on mutant genetics, but oh, I didn't catch Franklin because he's just so powerful. Like, how does this end? I mean, you got even stuff like Aryans, which basically deals with people. Well, I mean, that's an Inhumans thing. There's the Sheriff, I think you said before, Ben, which deals with the guys like Warren Worthington. And didn't one of Cannonball's brothers develop like wings and something like that? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
Okay, so we got mutant, Eternals, and Inhumans. Which of those three flavors do you tend to enjoy the most, guys? when it comes to stories involving those three subsets.
It's no contest.
Yeah.
It's mutants, of course.
Yeah, I feel like the overclassification is a big problem.
Like, the fun of a mutant, and the reason why they're so popular, it's because it's the idea that anybody can be a mutant. You can fantasize that you could be a mutant. You could join the X-Men, stuff like that. And that's what's always driven the X-Men and made them so fucking popular.
Yeah.
It ties into the feelings of being persecuted, the feelings of the strangeness and unfamiliarity of puberty. It's lots of brilliant things in the idea of mutants, and I feel like by going this route of overclassification, Marvel, as Red would say, took a dump in the punch bowl.
And I do agree with that. The only slightly disagreement I have with that is mutants as a species I think it's interesting that they at least made something of an effort to have a scientific classification done on this. So, you know, like we get, you know, the insecto species or the Aryans, which just sounds wrong to begin with. Now within Marvel Comics, now with Blade, first version of Blade where he's just immune to being turned into a vampire, like his original version, was that just merely an enhanced human, or would that be some variant of mutate?
Now Blade's weird because it's never been confirmed whether or not he's a mutant, but he was born with a power. He was born with the immunity to be turned into a vampire.
I'm going to take that as mutant personally. With the old classification, would make infinitely more sense than what we have now. Yeah. Blade getting the vampiric strength and stuff from Morbius's bite, that would be considered an enhancement.
So, and then he's become like is what they call him, a dampier?
A daywalker.
Yeah. So you got that. And you also put up skip over, you know, across the street to the Distinguished competition. Like, even DC has a few different classifications, not nearly as many as Marvel. I mean, you have the classic metahuman, which came out of the invasion storyline in the late 80s, where was it the Dominators, yellow skin, red dot, needle teeth?
Yes, the Dominators, which was
everyone's favorite Arrowverse crossover. Am I right, guys?
But DC, at least DC as I remember it, has a much simpler classification of metahuman is a catch-all for anyone who's a genetic human with superpowers. Were they born with it? Did they get through an experiment? No, they're just metahumans. I know that they complicated it later, but that's what it originally was. Then you have aliens, and then you have, really well-trained humans, and then you have like the humans that use enhancements, like Our Man, who takes a drug, or etc.
One thing I just want to just correct you on, Ben,
yes,
is the metahuman and metagene came out of Invasion, and they use metahumans as a catch-all instead of superhumans, because I think that's part of one of the many lawsuits between Marvel and DC. And they explained in Invasion that the metagene exists in humanity, and that is everyone has this to some degree or another. And it's basically the metagene which allows you to survive falling backwards into a vat of toxic chemicals or getting hit by a lightning bolt and then developing superpowers. It's basically the ability to overcome this astronomical amount of trauma and then keep going for the most part. And there's also stuff about white Martian DNA kind of sort of being in the human DNA because Grant Morrison writing Justice League.
That's complicating the formula too much. And really, I like it to where, like, well, I said, there's... Go ahead, Brett.
I love Grant Morrison. He's a great writer. Mm-hmm. But he does have an autistic view, and he loves to fucking put things into tiny little boxes that so he can understand.
Like, there's also lots of subspecies on Earth that while able to breed with humans, aren't considered the same as humans. Like Atlanteans and Amazonians are considered different species, even if though they can interbreed with humans.
They're considered to be subspecies of humans. Like they've evolved over time.
Yes.
Something else.
Yes. I think there's a third one on Earth I'm not remembering. Marvel, you know, DC does a much better job of keeping things tight. Yeah. Or at least they used to. I know that they try to do this, like the... I think DC even has their own version of the Titans as well, from, like, the planet Titan or some
bullshit. Yeah, they're called, from the planet fucking Apocalypse.
I'm talking about the thing that, like... The space egg thing with Donna Troy and I think her fourth origin.
The Titans were literally the fucking new gods. It's because Jack Kirby came to Marvel and was like, hey, I just finished doing this whole fucking thing called the new gods.
I know, but I'm on DC side. On DC side, there was this thing about the planet Titan and the space egg. Does anyone remember what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not familiar with that origin at all.
Okay. The Titans is actually where the name Teen Titans came from because Donna Troy, Wonder Girl, suggested it because of a subliminal message in her mind because she's the space seed or space egg of the Titan race. And, okay. We have to do an episode later about what the fuck is Donna Troy, but that's going to get complicated. Moving forward...
Okay.
Let's talk about...
discussed Donna Troy is that they gave her a bunch of retarded fucking origins when it could have been simplified that she was just a fucking Amazon from Themyscira and called Wonder Woman sister.
Because they are all sisters.
Yeah.
You were not wrong.
But they didn't want to do that because Wonder Woman was the only child born with Themyscira for the past 1,000 years.
Yeah, until Geoff Johns thought he could do better and give her a brother.
Now, Rand actually had a really interesting suggestion that I'm just doing this minor segue, that every, 100 years, a select number of Amazons go into man's world, breathe, and then bring the children back. And I thought that was an interesting idea and would be a good way to explain...
That's not an original idea. That actually comes from the fucking New 52 Amazons. Except what they did with the... They would rape fucking men.
Okay, and, thank you, Geoff Johns.
And then they would bring the kids back.
Okay,
have Jeff... kids, and if they had boys, they would send them to a slave camp.
Thank you, Geoff Johns.
My idea was simply go out to the world, have a fucking walkabout, learn about man's world... Have a kid, come back. When people ask, what do they do with the boys? They're fucking Amazons. They don't have boys.
Yeah.
So, just 1 second, Ben. I apologize for almost stepping on you there, Red. And Ben, Johns didn't write that part of Wonder Woman. I was speaking specifically when he's writing Justice League and he came up with Jason.
Okay. Are you sure Johns didn't have involvement with the Amazons come to man's world and rape?
No.
You're just looking for another reason to not like Geoff Johns, Ben.
Okay. Very well. Anyways, let's talk about the other classifications and how weird they are with the DC Universe. Now, there was also this one story that was done in the criminally underrated Martian Manhunter miniseries in the late 90s, early aughts. I think JT knows what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm familiar with that 30-some issue run of Martian Manhunter in the late 90s.
The one where John Jones is hunting Martians that are hiding as humans, and because the Martian mental prowess in human bodies creates a weird substrate of metahumans.
That sounds very, very familiar, but I probably did read that. I just don't quite remember it.
And John Jones has to team up with his ancient dead ancestor to mind wipe him and make them think they're humans and just die. But that's another subspecies of humans, and they only show up in one storyline and was never touched again, so I'm actually okay with being kind of that's not really a classification.
No.
And then there's Hitman, who like got his spinal fluid injection from something. Well,
That goes back to the Medigene.
Okay.
That was, again, you guys know that I love bad comics. That comes from the Bloodlines annual event from like 93, 94, where there are these not at all ripping off the xenomorph aliens that come from Earth that have like this pincer tongue that, you know, they are consuming and saving human spinal fluid to feed to this, you know, basically Cthulhu thing they've got in their ship. And like how the Medigene gives people the ability to survive trauma and develop superpowers, while only a certain subset of people get powers after being violated by these not xenomorphs. And they specifically said in the invasion that all of humanity has the Medigene, but you know, it's up to the writers as a crapshoot how much potential they have. And one other just is only one classification that I love in Wildstorm comics. They only ever had one classification. They might have had a couple of sub things, but it wasn't a huge thing. They were just called SPBs, superpowered beings. That's it. You know, this one goes under, you know, the mental category because they have like telepathy or telekinesis, or this goes under, you know, let's call it the Adonis category. Like, they never really went into it more than that. Now, say what you will about Wildstorm and by extension a lot of the, you know, classifications that came out of Image Comics, they at least gave it one idea and ran with it, and that was it. They've never tried to fix that or make it better or come up with an entire scientific explanation as to the various subspecies of superpowered beings in their universe.
To be fair, Wildstorm didn't last long enough for them to do more to it.
Wildstorm lasted over 12 years.
In DC,
Wildstorm did have other classifications. And there was people that had the Gen 13 gene, I think it was called.
The Gen Factor was an external mutagen sort of thing that would impart powers, but they... And it literally was up to the person given the Gen Factor, you know, how strong they were mentally, physically, you know, if they could withstand it, they had the potential to develop powers, but it wasn't a hard, you know, it's like the ooze in Ninja Turtles, basically. Sorry.
The ooze. I mean,
you had Cherubim and Daemonite hybrids, you know, Voodoo on the Wildcats was half Cherubim and half Daemonite. And then you had the, what do they call them, the Century Babies? Like Jenny Sparks, Elijah Snow, characters. Sorry?
Yeah, I remember those. Those are more unique aberrations, not a whole classification. Like, a classification exists if you have a group. An aberration exists if you have one footnote.
Yeah, like us.
But we're not here to make up our own classification. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they use mutants as a term for, in the Amalgam comics, they use mutants, and that's anybody who had a meta mutant gene. Why do I feel like throwing up after saying that?
Why would you quote Amalgam? What is wrong with you?
A great many things. How long do you have?
Did you just have a seizure?
No, I'm pretty sure you would know if I had a seizure. I mean, even Smallville on TV, you know, they eventually started using metahumans in the later years, but for the longest time it was just meteor freaks, because literally it's somebody who got infected with kryptonite and developed some, you know, wacky superpower, like the kid that became, you know, a Spider-Man, or developed mutant pheromone powers or something like that. And wasn't there the one girl that it was the fat girl who could only survive by consuming human fat, but she basically turned into like a late 80s body horror monster. I don't know, is there any other classifications? I know they use metahumans in the Arrowverse, and they've had two different versions of that now with the metahumans in the Flash and then metahumans in Black Lightning before they merged the worlds. And the metahumans in Black Lightning were essentially the ultimate Marvel mutants because they were created by the government trying to create a super soldier.
Sounds messy to me. Sounds messy and convoluted.
And based entirely on, you know, the American history of experimenting on certain segments of their population. It's entirely what it's based on. Wayne Brady was the word. Technically, in the DC Arrowverse TV show canon, Wayne Brady plays Gravedigger, and he is the first metahuman in that timeline. Wayne Brady actually choked a bitch.
I think that we're getting into the messiness that I alluded to before. I think that if we go back to the original classifications where it is a lot simpler, you have better storytelling opportunities than what you have now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant with Wildstorm. Now, again, not the greatest writing, but because they didn't spend so much time classifying that, you know, you have superpowered beings and they all have different origins for their powers. So like I said, there are the hybrids, there are those with the gen factor. You could argue that the Gen 13 kids or the children of subsequent generations of Gen Factor or people who've been exposed to the Gen Factor could be considered mutants because, I mean, they technically were fed activator drugs, but they're essentially mutants. Like, the powers were there all along. Some of them needed this goo to make their powers come out, like Fairchild in the original miniseries. You know, she was just sick all the time until they fed her so much of this stuff that she finally turned into the Amazon that she became. But then you have mutates, which I think would be like Gen 12, like characters like Grifter, who has kind of Hitman-esque telepathy / telekinesis and no x-ray eyes. But you're right, like sometimes it's too much, but with the X-Men it's definitely too much because now you can't even agree on what is or what is a mutant anymore because there's so many potential
answers. No true Scotsman fallacy.
Exactly.
And again, I just want to point this out. You have Franklin Richards, who was born with powers. Indisputable, he was born with superpowers. And he is able to rewrite and create new realities on a whim.
And he created whole universes in his bedroom closet.
Yeah, and now just because he doesn't have a specific gene activated, and he doesn't have, and he
currently active powers.
Currently have active powers, which, by the way, they're going to totally, before the end of the storyline, hint that this is just sort of like some sort of teenage thing, and they're going to come back stronger than ever. Bullshit. Mark my words, it's going to happen.
Well, technically, the way they wrote the current timeline, shall we say, like Franklin Richards, they're going off of stuff that Hickman wrote in his FF run prior to Secret Wars, where Franklin is going to become like this celestial level powerful being. And a few months ago, early part of the year, they finished the History of the Marvel Universe, which was a 6-issue mini that kind of detailed, like, broad strokes, the history of Marvel comics in their universe timeline. And he's going to exist till the end of the world or the end of the reality with Galactus. And Galactus is going to become part of the next Big Bang. And Franklin is going to become whatever he becomes in the next reality. Like how Galen of Ta, or is it Ta? It's T-A-A?
Yes.
But Galen of Ta became Galactus.
But anyways, to belabor the point, just because of like some weird writing fallacy now about it has to be X gene or nothing, you're not a mutant now. And that is, again, it strikes of severe racism, severe classism. And these heroes of the supposed heroes of the little guy, the minority, are now so classist and elitist that it's disgusting. I'm not sure if is it Spencer writing X-Men? I'm not sure if that's intentional to no, it's Hickman. It's Hickman. If it's intentional or if it's because,
Mister, I didn't know black people. God sake.
Oh, that was Millar.
Okay.
That was Millar who's like, I didn't know black people got white people diseases. And then he tried to scrub the internet from it, but the internet doesn't forget. Anyways, it strikes that sort of weird, I think he doesn't realize what he's writing. And he thinks he's trying to make mutants are super special in their own thing. And we have to keep them special and segregated because that's the only way they can be good and pure. Without realizing that that's the epitome of racism. If they're doing this as a, oh my God, what have we become kind of story, that's one thing, but I'm not getting those notes.
No, I don't think they're doing it. I think they're doing it intentionally, not ironically.
Yes.
And also it goes to how they said Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were mutants, and then they weren't mutants, and they're essentially products of the High Evolutionary's genetic tinkering and have just been lied to all this time, although they're currently considered to be mutants again. So why isn't Pietro and Wanda on the island? And
Wanda can't come on the island because she's considered to be the devil.
Yeah, and
because of the whole no more mutants thing.
Yeah, and my theory is Pietro isn't there because, well, he's just a huge asshole.
They sort of did this weird thing where they retconned Wanda being Magneto's daughter into she's not Magneto's daughter as a throwaway line last time they did a story about it. I think they're back to the Wizard. I don't know why.
They made Wanda and Pietro not mutants and not Magneto's fucking children because of the Avengers movie.
Yes, we have another enhanced on the field.
Yeah. That's the only reason why they changed. But now that they own the X-Men, oh, look who's Magneto's daughter and son again.
Yes. By the way, let's talk about that weird classification for a moment with when the Marvel movies briefly tried to skirt around this with the enhanced.
No, they started with the gifted.
No, in Age of Ultron, he says, we have another enhanced on the field.
And before that, they're like, we have two gifted subjects.
That is true. You are right.
I don't know if that was a classification so much as they're gifted. You know, that's like saying somebody with excellent hand-eye coordination is gifted.
Marvel tried to push it. They made a comic called The Gifted and shit like that.
I thought you were talking about that not X-Men TV show.
You call them Mutant X?
No, it was literally... You didn't know about The Gifted show? It ran two seasons on Fox, and it was literally every character they could use that wasn't currently tied up in some sort of...
Polaris was on the show.
Media
oh
ranks.
My God, I completely forgot. I remember they had Blink on there, and she looked awful.
Yeah, well, like I said, they had. They I remember had, Polaris Benders. Was a Polaris was a big part of that show.
Yeah, Polaris. They had this. I forget what they called the solar powered energy guy. It wasn't Sunspot. He had a different name. It was not Roberto Da Costa, and they had. Heinrich, what's the guy that was the swordsman in Norman Osborn's Thunderbolts who he had to touch his sister hand, his sister's skin so they could use their mutant blasting power that were the children of
Northstar?
Von Strucker. No, Andy and Andrea Strucker. who they're called Fenris in the X-Men comics, where they had to touch hands so they could use their mutant power because that's the only way it worked. And they were part of that show. They had, you know, a couple other mutants. The Cuckoos were part of the Brotherhood, but no Emma Frost. It happened, Reg. You just have to accept it.
I accept it. I barely remember it, though. I never watched any. I watched one fucking episode, and I was like, this is dog shit. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we very, very briefly, only briefly touched on Inhumans, because Inhumans was just this weirdly weird Jack Kirby idea of what if there's this hidden kingdom of people that are superhumans, and there's a mist and something or other. And I sort of like the fact that it was like this whole hidden world thing, which is really pulpy and really Jack Kirby-esque, and I like that. But to sort of turn that into a hard classification, again, I think mistake.
I don't think it's a mistake, but I always read those original stories to say that all the Inhumans in the Marvel Universe came from Atalan. Like, they were this city of, you know, it's like isolationist colonies or some such, that there were no Inhumans out in the world because everyone with all the Inhumans were in the city, or all the people that had the potential to become Inhumans were in this city. But then they, you know, threw everything out in the world. And this is before they tried to make the Inhumans become the new mutants in Marvel Comics. You know, it's like you said, once there's too much now, there's too much choice, they're all out in the world and everyone could become this. And it's like I said before, when everyone's special, no one is. It's also goes to when you kept them in one place, you could write those stories and they would have effect and they would have that drama. But, you know, now Jerry down the street's an Inhuman while the Mike at the other end of the block is a mutant. You know, just, you can't focus as well anymore. Mm. So, can you think of any other classifications from other comics that come to mind, Red?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I think we sort
of... You got mutants.
I think we sort of touched the entirety of this subject. I think most people don't get too wrapped up in classifications. I think, you know, as a final aside, I think Invincible sort of handled this better by not having a hard classification system either, that I can remember.
No, basically, they were superhumans, and that was it. They, you know, everyone had a different power, or maybe some had similar powers, but, you know, they didn't get calling Mark a half-breed or anything in the comic. He's just Omni-Man's son, and
well, the what's it called? The Vultramites actually did call him a half-breed.
Well, they're about the only ones that did, though.
But they're also a highly xenophobic fascist
master race.
That if anything, reminds me more of Majestros' species than Kryptonians in attitude.
The Cherubim?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole caste slave class system in there that would be almost an episode unto itself to really get into.
Yes. But overall, I think we've touched the subject pretty well. Any final thoughts, guys?
I really prefer it if they just went to back. Mutants are people with the X gene. That's how they have their powers. And two or three just basic ways to describe the subsets, because, I mean, a lot of mutants end up having similar powers, and there's no harm in having them, you know, collated in such a way. But
where are you guys getting this list of insectoids and fucking aerials and all that shit?
I'm not using that. That's completely JT here, and that's from
like classification. That seems like a fan.
You're not using. You're the one that provided it, Ben.
I provided it because it had some information. I didn't think that this was all completely good information.
But that seems like a fan site to me. Somebody who wants to classify everything into a little fucking box.
I know. It's hard to find the official classification. I've tried for like 2 hours today.
There are official classifications. It's in the Marvel Handbook.
Which I don't have a copy of at this time.
It's human.
Okay.
Enhanced human.
Yes.
Altered human. Mutant. Robot. Enhanced human counts as like Tony Stark.
Whatever. Yes.
So, robot, alien, and god.
Okay.
Fine.
All right. So, anyways, any other final thoughts, guys? Other than the fact that the X-Men are racists and supremacists and really need to finish the storyline.
Clearly because, brainwashing people.
Well, they're coming out as pod people, literally Invasion of the Body Snatchers pod people. Regardless of that, this is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Reading.
We're saying goodnight.
So long.
Destroy.